The killing needs to stop, all of it. None of these shootings were justified. Not the shootings of the police, not the shootings by the police. That's a statement from the surprising high-polling Libertarian Party on the violence of the past week. The frustration in the black community is palpable and frankly justified, the statement from the Libertarian says, when rogue cop after rogue cop gets off scot-free after using excessive force and changes are not made and consequences are not felt, it causes this horrible tension we're feeling today. The shooters in Dallas will see justice, but will the blue wall of silence ever be broken? Will cops ever start to do a better job of policing themselves? The Libertarian Party calls for peace and justice. Those two things go hand in hand. Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson is surprisingly relevant this year. He needs 15% of polled public support to make it on the debate stage with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump this fall. In an election year where voters are looking for options and a new path for this country's government, 15% may just be enough to determine this presidential contest.
Well, right now there's this consensus number that we're at 10%. And when I say we, I am running with Bill Weld, former governor of Massachusetts, which I think has lent a lot of credibility to this also. We're just trying to guide a pathway right down the middle here, given that Trump and Clinton, arguably the two most polarizing figures that have ever run for this office.
And when you say polarizing figures, Trump is in one world, but Hillary definitely represents a kind of centrist, it would seem, policy outlook in any case.
Well, I'm going to argue that we're probably more centrist than Hillary, and Hillary being, government has the answer to everything. And then, look, it hasn't been intentional, but foreign policy, when you go in and you... when you back the moderate or the insurgents in Syria and Libya, and those insurgents are aligned with ISIS and al-Qaeda, that's not purposeful, but can't make it up. That's what's happened. When it comes to foreign policy, I don't know what changes with Hillary going forward. The Pentagon itself says that we could reduce U.S. bases by 20%, but that hasn't happened because congressmen and women, senators from those states, won't allow that to happen.
On the finance front, on the domestic policy front, do you support a massive reduction in taxes?
As president, I'm going to sign legislation that reduces taxes, makes it simpler, makes it more fair. If I could wave a magic wand, John, I would eliminate income tax. I would eliminate corporate tax. Because we would do that, we could also abolish the IRS. And I would replace all of that with one federal consumption tax, which I think would be very fair. And you could look at the FAIR tax, which is a proposal right now, a piece of legislation before Congress on how to dot the I's and cross the T's on how you accomplish one federal consumption tax.
How do you reconcile your position on women's reproductive rights as far as health care is concerned, otherwise known as the abortion question?
Well, I support a woman's right to choose. I think I don't think there's a more difficult decision in anyone's life, but who should be making that decision? I think that's the woman involved that needs to make that decision. I think that people don't realize that Roe v. Wade is not the law of the land, that Casey versus Planned Parenthood is, and Casey versus Planned Parenthood says that a woman has the right to have an abortion up to the viability of the fetus, and the Supreme Court defines viability of the fetus as being able to sustain the life of the fetus outside of the womb, even if by artificial means. That's the current law of the land.
Are you opposed to that?
No. I think it I hate to say where my position is on the issue because I so fervently believe that this is a woman's choice, period.
What about climate change?
I believe climate change is man-caused, and a great example of climate change and our reacting to it, if that's the right word, is that we're demanding less CO2 emission as consumers, and so effectively coal has been bankrupted. Coal is at an unbelievably low price, and at that low price, natural gas is even cheaper. So there's no new coal plants that are going to be built. They're all going to go out of existence. And, of course, that currently amounts to 37% of the load, but it's going away.
If you are elected at the inaugural, will there be cannabis edibles?
No, probably not, John.
So you've already had that meeting? You've already had that meeting.
No, I haven't had that meeting. But I am planning to do away with the imperial presidency, so I don't know what the inauguration is going to look like. It's going to be a really scaled-back affair.
Do you believe that legalization of marijuana constitutes a kind of symbolic example of what libertarians want in terms of government staying out of people's lives?
I think it's the perfect example of symbolically what libertarians stand for, which is you and I as individuals being able to make choices in our own lives as long as those choices don't adversely affect others.
The question you've been asked probably most often is, what if you deny enough votes from the Democrats to give Donald Trump a victory in November?
I think the party needs to be crashed, and I hope to occupy that role. And right now, 50% of voters that are registering to vote are voting as or registering as independent. Well, where's that representation? Speaking with a broad brushstroke, I think most people are libertarian. It's just that they don't know it. And that's, hey, being fiscally conservative, socially, who cares as long as you don't force it on me? And then let's stop with these military interventions that are having the unintended consequence of making things worse, not better.
Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico and libertarian candidate for president of the United States. Thank you so much.
John, great being with you. Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.